comes down. I praise God.
Praise is yours. Yours forever. Yeah. Let him hear your praise. Let him hear your worship tonight.
Somebody say Jesus.
Jesus.
I said somebody say Jesus.
Jesus.
Now somebody shout Jesus.
Jesus.
Come on now, we're not at a golf match or a golf tournament. We're at church tonight. So somebody shout Jesus.
Jesus.
He's the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody goes to the Father except through Him. Somebody say Jesus.
Jesus.
Miracle worker.
Miracle.
Hallelujah. That just sounds good. Say Jesus one more time.
Jesus.
He's the name above every name. There's no name higher than him. He's above every angel. In fact, the Bible says that God gave him the name that's above even the angels. And so we serve a mighty and powerful God today. So when we're worshiping that name, you know who we're worshiping? We're worshiping Jesus. And so the Holy Spirit is here tonight, and he's helping us worship Jesus. See, when we get it right, the Holy Spirit points us to Jesus every time. And so if you've come in here today with an issue, you've come in here with lack, whether it's lack of finances, whether it's lack of faith, whether it's lack of anything, Jesus is your answer tonight. If you're here tonight and you're not sure why you're here tonight, I want to tell you why you're here. Because Jesus is alive. And he's got a plan for your life. And so maybe you're on a mountaintop tonight. Maybe you come in here and you're just saying, you know what, my faith is like it's never been. I'm going to tell you right now that Jesus is here to bring it to another level tonight. God is here, and he is awesome, and he is mighty. And you know what? I serve a good God. I serve a powerful God. And I know this, that whatever I face in life, whatever situation I face, it's not bigger than my God. Because my God is Jesus. Why don't you give about two or three people a high five and say, Jesus. And then you may be seated. And you may be seated. Well, if you can't tell, I'm a little excited about Jesus tonight. And God has just, he's done some great things so far in this service already, but he's about to do even more. And believe it or not, he's about to bless your socks off with announcements. Yeah. Yeah, so next Sunday is the last opportunity for us to participate in our empowering education. And before I go any further with that, though, I want to welcome all our visitors. I got so excited, Pastor. Sometimes when you get excited, you get the cart before the horse, and I don't want to do that. But if you're new here, I just want to welcome you. I see a bunch of new faces, and I think some of them are from Faith Bible College International. Yeah. So if you are a student of any kind at Faith School, I know there's a lot more still coming in, a bunch more, but why don't you just stand up real quick if you're a Faith School Bible College student? Faith Bible College student? Yeah, awesome. Thank you, thank you. So we have some freshmen mid-year, new freshmen, seniors, all kinds of people trickling in, and that's a great thing. But if you're a visitor here today, you are our guest, and we just want to welcome you here. I'd say you could have gone to any church, but not really, because not many churches have Sunday night service. So you really had no other choice but to come here tonight to get blessed, and God's going to do just that for you. But if you are here, you're our guest, and we'd like you to fill out a contact card. So when the offering comes by, please drop that in the bucket. And then outside these doors at the Welcome Center, there is a gift with a Dunkin' Donuts gift card for you, so you don't want to miss it. Praise the Lord. So now, on to the empowering education. Next week is the last opportunity for us to bring our school supplies. Next week, it is going to be scissors and glue sticks. So no sniffing and running, because that would be very dangerous. No sniffing and running. Walk at a nice pace. But seriously, I actually had the opportunity just to walk by Jamie's office, and I got a chance to see a lot of the school supplies that have already come in. And I'm like, wow, I don't think I can count that high. So praise God, Jamie can. But just keep it coming. Keep it coming. And then say September 3rd. All right. Say September 3rd. There we go. September 3rd is our back-to-school bash. So right after the morning service, actually, we're going to have a big prayer line for all students and teachers and different people that are associated with the class, with the school. I'm so sorry. I'm distracted. Oh, okay. Good, good. It's like I'm trying to ignore my pastor, but... These are like the best announcements. These are the best announcements I've ever done in my life. That's all right. So somebody say September 3rd. Very good. Back to school bash. We're going to have a morning prayer service for all students and all educators and workers in the school systems. And they're going to come down through a prayer line and get blessed and have an incredible year. And then directly after the service, we're going to have our back to school bash. There's going to be a rock climbing wall. There's going to be a bounce house for kids. And everything that we want to do requires volunteers, and we're still looking for some people that are willing to volunteer. If you want to volunteer at the information desk just out these doors, is a sign-up sheet. So if you want to volunteer, please sign up on that, and you'll get more information once you've signed up on that. Praise the Lord. If ushers would please come down. I'm plowing through it. It's going a lot easier than it did last week for me. I'm right on track. So the ushers, come on down. You know, Jesus is good. God is good. And, you know, I've been serving the Lord for just a short amount of time at this point, but I have had the opportunity time and time again to see Jesus do amazing things. And actually, to be honest with you, as I'm standing here right now looking at some of your faces, you are some of the miracles that I've been seeing. There's testimonies over here. I'm looking at some faces over here. Sam is a testimony of what God can do. As I look across this entire, every single section, in fact, there's a testimony of what God can do. There's powerful testimonies in every single section. And I'm grateful today that God is a miracle worker, that God is still working miracles, signs, and wonders, and he's doing great things. And the great thing is this, that he wants to do it through the local church. And so for the local church, it's important that the local church is a giving church. And we're a giving church. We are a giving church. I don't have to stand up here for an hour to convince you that it's important to give. I don't have to. I can tell you testimony after testimony after testimony, and I will share testimonies with you. But I don't have to convince you of a thing tonight. God is good, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And this is a church that diligently seeks him. And God is impacting the communities around us. Again, he's not just impacting a community. He's impacting the communities around us through your giving. And so right now we're just going to pray that God will bless the offering and see what God will do. And so, you know, I actually briefly mentioned it last week about being part of a team. There was a point in my life when I started coming to church and I didn't give at first. But it didn't take long for me to realize that, wait a second, I'm a part of the team. I'm a part of the body of Christ, and I want to invest in the team. I want to be a participant and get some skin in the game and start participating. And one of the greatest ways that you and I can do that is by trusting the Lord in our finances. And so, Father, I thank you right now that we can trust you, Lord. We can trust you with our lives, and we do that by accepting Christ as our Lord and Savior. And Lord, we can trust you even a bit further, even in our finances, Lord. And I thank you for every person that gives. I pray, Father, that maybe there's a person here tonight that was a lot like I was the first time I ever came into church and wondered if it was what the deal was with giving and if it really was something that God expected of me. Lord, I pray that you'll just put it into their hearts, Lord God, that you have good things in store to those who give, Lord. And I thank you right now, Father, for faithfulness. I thank you for every person that gives and pray that you'll bless it and multiply it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And choir, once you've given, please come up.
While we were practicing this song and I was singing, some of the words, they're not just words, this is a testimony. So if you hear some of these words and they just connect with some of your past, because I don't think I'm the only one. Do any of you remember when you didn't have Jesus, the life that you lived, how you were just day to day, what you did? Because I remember, I mean, I'm still young, but when I didn't have the Lord, I knew I was lost. I knew I didn't have the hope, and when I started coming here, I just wanted what everybody had here, and I was like, what is this? And that was when I really, really met the Lord for the first time and was able to connect with Jesus. And ever since then, the Holy Spirit touched me when we practiced this song. Because of what the Lord has done in my life, because of how much he has changed me, every single day, as long as I have breath in my lungs, I'm going to proclaim what he's done. Because of my past, like Pastor was saying this morning, I have a different past than you, but the same Jesus who blesses me blesses you. The same Jesus who came and healed me and brought me from where I was, brought you from where you were, and he's continuing to use you every day for who you see, who you talk to. So if this song just connects with you, just praise him, because I know it really connects with me and my testimony. I was hopeless,
rescue me when mercy heard my plea.
Lord, and you found me, you healed me, you called me from the grave, you gave me a real love. I thank you, Jesus. You washed my sins away, and now I'm living like I'm forgiven. You came and set me free. That's what your mercy did for me.
I'm living day to day by His grace. So excuse me if I can't contain my praise, 'cause I know that I've been saved.
Lord, and you found me, you healed me, you called me from the grave, you gave me a real love. I thank you, Jesus. You washed my sin away. Now I'm living, I'm forgiven. You came and set me free. That's what your mercy did for me. What your mercy did for me. That's what your mercy did for me. That's what your mercy did for me.
Thank you. Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise and thank God. Make sure He knows we're grateful for it. His grace and mercy. Amen. I know I needed it. I know other people need it. And I want everybody else to know about it as well. Anthony, come join me on the platform if you would. In fact, let me see Ozzy, Tyson. Where's Gunnar? Has he gone off to the nursery? Come up here, big boys. That's awesome. Stand beside me here for a minute. Right here, right there, you, right here, you, no, you over there, no, you over here. I could use your names, but that'd be far less entertaining. How old are you, Ozzy?
8.
How old are you?
7.
8 and 7, and how old is Gunnar? How old is Gunnar?
1.
He's 1. Exactly? rounding it up or down. Would you let these boys know you're real proud of them? Their mom and dad serve at this church, and I want them to know that this church loves them. You could do a whole lot better than that. Let them know. All right, thank you guys. Go. Carefully, though, cautiously. We love Anthony and Sarah. And if you don't know, Anthony has pretty much grown up, well, has grown up here, right? And then, well, as much as he's grown up, he's been doing, whatever growing up he's done has been here. And Sarah, I think they met in the youth group. Is that right? Were you guys in the youth? At school, and then you got migrated into the youth group, and that's fantastic. And then but these guys are our Ignite pastors, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, and I am so proud of them. These guys are on fire. This guy's a business owner. He works like crazy. But I'm going to tell you, ministry is his priority, and I'm really proud of them, like it is amongst many people that are making this church strong and great all the time. And I asked Anthony this August Sunday night if he'd come bring the word. I think that you would help me. Let's shout him on. Let him know we're proud of him. Let's get ready to hear from the Lord.
Thank you. Thanks, Pastor Ward. How many guys are happy that Pastor Ward is back from vacation? He shouldn't take so many vacations. He only works one day a week, but he's back now. And he preached this morning, and you thought he was back. And here I am. It's good to be here tonight. I'm really excited about the word that God put on my heart for you tonight. There's a position in life that I think that we have all either been, or sometimes, you know, you could be there now. This place sometimes, I don't want to depress you, but sometimes this place, it's a place that it's in the middle of everything. You know, there's certain times you want to be in the middle. I want to hit the middle of a target, right? But I don't want to be in the middle of traffic. I don't want to be in the middle seat in an airplane. There are certain places the middle's good, certain places the middle's bad. This thing that I'm talking to you about tonight, the middle, you know, sometimes life can kind of feel like you might be stuck. It seems like life is a little bit mundane. It might be kind of blah, meh, ugh, blumug, you know. Sometimes it's like that, but what I want to show you tonight, I'm going to show you using 3 different heroes in the Bible. Now, don't get me wrong, it's not that you have to go through this. It's not that you can't live from glory to glory, and I pray and hope that you will. But sometimes I think that there might be some people here tonight that might be able to identify with, I've been in that position. I don't know how I got out. Maybe I don't know if I will get out, when or if. But it's that place, maybe between battles, maybe between victories, that you find yourself a little bit tired, sometimes a little bit comfortable, and it becomes all so easy to just get stuck in the middle. So tonight I want to preach this message to you entitled, The Middle. We're going to look at different parts of the lives of Gideon, Samson, and Elijah. Before putting this together, God starts putting this on my heart. How on earth can I put all these pieces together? But he's shown me a way to do it, so I hope that this will bless you. Hope that you'll open your hearts tonight. God, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. God, I thank you that I'm not where I once was, and I'm not standing in the position that you want to take me to in the future. We're going to move on. I pray that you'll touch the hearts of your people tonight, and they'll receive this word in Jesus' name. Let's start with Gideon. How many of you guys know the story of Gideon it's fascinating. I love Old Testament history. I love to be able to use these tools to preach to the junior high kids. It's so much fun. There's so much that you can learn from it. Gideon started in a very lowly place. When we see Gideon first come onto the scene, man, he's hiding. The Midianites are the enemy of Israel, and he's trying to save some wheat and hide it to avoid conflict. He was the least of the least. He was at a lowly place. You might call him a coward. But then the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon This is, now listen to this. Gideon was at a very low place in life. This is where he started. And sometimes we want to use that as an excuse. I started at a low place and I want to use that as my excuse. That's why I can't do something great for God. But that's not what God's plan is for your life. I don't care where you started from. God's got a place for you to go. And if you follow him, he's going to do great and mighty things through you. Judges chapter 6, verses 12 through 16. The angel of the Lord appeared to him. This is Gideon. He said, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." Now, what on earth has gotten into this guy's mind? What do you mean, mighty hero? I'm hiding. Have you? Take a look, man. So, have you guys seen Undercover Boss? You know that? I'm pretty sure that plot was derived from this very scripture. He's like, "Mighty hero, you're so great." He's like, "Bro, you look around, man." And so he says this to him. Gideon says to the Lord, "Sir," he doesn't know this is, he's speaking to the angel of the Lord. "Sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us?" How many of you have heard that question asked you before? You've got faith. Why? If there's really a God, why have all these bad things happened? He goes on, "And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites." The Lord turned to him and said this, "Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you." You know, back in the day, we had a sign hanging up in our youth room, up in the it's now the conference room. And I'm not going to mess with your youth room wall art theology, but it said, "God doesn't call the equipped." You remember it, Heather? "He equips those he calls." Right? Have you heard that? I'm not telling you that's wrong. But I want to tell you, I want to suggest to you that it's not always the case. Because God said, "Gideon, go with the strength that you already have. You've already got what it takes. I'm putting you in right now. Go ahead and fight. You've got what it takes. You're more than a conqueror. Go ahead and get out there." It's like being on a basketball team sitting on the bench. "I can't play. I don't have shoes." Well, your shoes are on your feet, man. You just got to lace them up. You've already got to lace those kicks up. Get out there. Get a rebound. How about it? Rebounds win rings. You're already equipped. Verse 15, But Lord, Gideon replied, "How can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family." You've got the wrong guy. The Lord said to him, "I will be with you. You will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man." That's pretty good. Gideon replied, "If you are truly going to help me, then I'm going to need a sign to prove that it's really God, the Lord, speaking to me. Don't go away." I want you to pay attention to this. "Don't go away until I come back and bring my offering to you." The Lord answered, "I will stay here until you return." Any good student knows if something is in bold print, italics, and underlined, you should probably hang on to it. So hang on to this. Put a pin in it. Hold on to it. We're going to come back to it later. But he says, "I'm going to come back." So what does Gideon do? He goes to get this sacrifice. I don't know how long of a process it was, but I know that it was lengthy. He went, it's not like he went down to Whitney's and grabbed a ribeye and put a dry rub on it and put it on some flame with a gas, you know, grill. He had to go and fetch himself a goat.
I'm on?
Hello. Okay. Praise God. Where was I? Ribeye. Goats. Thank you. You guys are paying attention. I love it. So he's got to go get this sacrifice. He goes and cooks up some pork chops or whatever it was. He also bakes a loaf of bread. So he comes back with a pot roast sandwich for the Lord. This is fantastic, and that's exactly what I had for lunch today, and it was amazing, by the way. It was very well timed. He comes back, and he offers it to the Lord, and at this point, this is where I begin to laugh at this. He doesn't know. He's like, "Prove yourself to me. Are you really the Lord speaking to me?" He hands him this sacrifice, and the Lord says, "Sure." He takes his staff. He like taps it, and the thing blows up in flames. And right then, the Lord disappears. And this is so funny. Gideon then realizes this really was God. Like, I was just running my lips to the creator of the universe. Are you kidding me? And the line that he says makes me laugh. He says, "Oh, sovereign Lord, I'm doomed." I mean, he's done. He can't believe this. So if that wasn't a sign enough, what we need to understand is so many times we look for signs to prove God. God, are you there? Are you real? Do you hear me? Do you know the pain that I'm in? Show me a sign. God showed Gideon a sign, not just a sign, but he was standing right in front of him, face to face, having a conversation. Sometimes it wouldn't matter if God stood in front of you and told you exactly what you need to do. You wouldn't buy into it still. It's sad. Gideon needed more proof, more proof. But at this, see, he realized, this is God, I'm going to do this. So he began to do the work of the Lord, and at this point is where I call this the middle. He goes later that day, he tears down, altar for Baal, thank you. He tore down the Asherah pole. This is a gangster move. He takes this Asherah pole, takes it down, chops it up, and uses the wood to fuel the fire to make a sacrifice to God. I'm telling you what, you got some things in your life that the enemy wants to use, but what you can do is use it for a fuel to fire that Holy Ghost flame to go after it even more. I see what you've done to me. I'm not going back there. I'm going to use that to fuel my passion to preach the good news. How about it? I'm going to tell my coworkers, this is where I came from. I'm not going back, but in Jesus' name, I've got freedom and I've got victory. After this, he becomes a leader. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon Gideon. The Midianites are forming, and their allies are forming against the nation of Israel. He blows a ram's horn, like a call to arms, and they assemble this huge army, 32,000 people. 32,000. Can you imagine preaching to 32,000 people? That'd be great. That would be great. So at this point, he's got this, but he's still unsure. He's in a leadership position now. I'm a commander of this army, and I'm still unsure if this is really God. Are you really going to help me? Gideon goes through this piece. He probably know the story. He lays out a fleece before the Lord. He says, "Lord, I know that I met you face to face. You gave me your word, but I really still need more proof." He lays out a fleece and says, "Lord, in the morning, I want the fleece to be wet and the ground to be dry, and then I'll know it's you directing my life." What happens? You guys know the story. He wakes up, and it was just the way that Gideon asked for. He says, "Okay, so I met you face to face. You did the whole thing with the blanket situation. Great, that could have been a fluke, you know. Let's try it again. But this time, I want it opposite. I want the fleece to be dry and the ground to be soaked." Do you know that sometimes we look at this? So often we've looked at it. I've heard it preached. It's like God is so faithful to give you a sign. Isn't he so good? He is. And I'm not telling you that's, if you look at this from the other side, Gideon wasn't trying to have God prove himself. Gideon was trying to disprove that was really God. Gideon was looking for any answer to quit and hit the bricks. He wanted to get out of there. He was scared to death. Fear and doubt gripped his life. He was in the middle. He was in the middle. Don't you love it that God knows right where you're at? And even though we've got weaknesses, he doesn't require us to do things right away that we just, he's going to help us. And he did this for Gideon. He knew Gideon was still afraid. Sometimes the weaknesses that we have, God wants to prove himself so faithful. So he says, "Gideon, your army's too big. You're scared. You don't think you can do this. You don't think I can do this. So this is what I'm going to do. I want to prove to you once and for all that I am your God. And I want you to take out of these 32,000 troops, go up and stand on a hill and say, 'Hey, if you're scared, go home.'" And Gideon's like, "I want to go home, man. Like, let me out of here." 22,000 people leave. 22 skilled soldiers are gone. He's left with 10. Then he does this little trick with, all right, have them get a drink. If they get a drink this way or if they're on their hands and knees, out of that whole filter, he sends all but 300 soldiers away. You thought you didn't have enough before, And God is just, I want to prove to you once and for all that I'm all that you need. He wants to do that to some of you tonight. He wants to prove once and for all that he's all that you need. He's all that you'll ever need. He's all you've ever needed. You just got to go to him in faith. God knew that Gideon was still afraid. He knew that he had a tendency, watch this, he had a tendency to turn his ear to the enemy and not to the Lord. God's track was on repeat telling him, I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to raise you up. I'm going to give you power. I'm going to give you the victory. Over and over and over again. He proved him time and time again. But sometimes we look for the one thing to hear from the enemy to throw us off. We listen to the one word from the enemy, I can't do it because he said I'm disqualified because of my past. When God says, forget about your past, that's under the blood. I've got a new covenant here and I want you to go and do great things for me in my name. So what does God do? He says, all right, Gideon, if you won't take it from me, take it from the enemy. If you're still afraid, I want you to sneak down to the base of their camp and listen to what they're saying. And at that time, one of the soldiers from the enemy's army was telling the other guy about a dream he had. And the interpretation came, the only thing that can mean is that the God of Gideon has given this battle to him. We're dead meat, man. When Gideon heard this, I mean, that is right there, right then and there. God used what the enemy was saying already to pull Gideon out of the middle and bring him on to victory. You know the story. Gideon, the 300 men surrounded that camp and they just started making a bunch of ruckus. These guys freaked and took off. And the Bible says 32,000 was one thing, right? This enemy that they were facing, the Bible says, was immeasurable. Sometimes we face things that we can't quantify. I don't see where it begins. I don't see where it ends. But don't you know that your God is much bigger than that? You can't put a lid on God. You can't stop his power. You can't stop the anointing that he's got for you. So quit trying to quantify it. It took a little bit of work. It took a little bit of convincing. But God turned Gideon into a leader. Can I tell you tonight, we need some leaders. We need some real good leaders. I don't know where you're at in life, but maybe you've just started this journey with the Lord. By the way, I do expect this word at some point or another that you're going to be able to identify, and you're going to be in one of these places between Gideon, Samson, and Elijah. And you might be here identifying with Gideon. I don't really know where to start because I've never been in this. You might be new to the church. You might be new to the faith. But God's got something so incredible in store for you. You just need to get started. You need to get rolling. We need good leaders. We need you. We need you. Let's talk about Samson. Samson was called from a young age. Right before he was born, the angel of the Lord appeared to Samson's mother, Manoah's wife, and said, I'm raising up this child. You haven't had children to this point, but you're going to have a son soon, and you need to set him apart. He's going to live his life as a Nazirite. He is going to do some mighty things for me, and he's going to beat the ever-loving daylights out of the Philistines. And so he did. So I want to pick this up. You know, the other thing, though, hold on. Samson is like a stereotypical church kid. I can identify with Samson. I grew up in the church. I always heard the truth. I was always told you can do great things through the Lord. You keep hearing it over and over and over again, and sometimes it loses some power because you've heard it so many times. Samson was a church kid that, man, he found himself. He got into some trouble. But let's pick this up here. Judges, I believe it's chapter 13, 15, and 16 right here. Right after the angel of the Lord appeared to Manoah's wife, this is Samson's mother, she went and ran and told her husband, and he says, he prayed, Lord, send back that angel. I got some questions. So he said, then Manoah said to the angel when he came back, please stay here until we can prepare a young goat for you to eat. There's that underline again. I will stay, the angel of the Lord replied, but I will not eat anything. However, you can prepare a burnt offering as a sacrifice to you. Now, there's a couple things I want to pick out here. The angel of the Lord appeared to Manoah's wife and said, this is what's going to happen with your child. Manoah heard the word from his wife and said, I've got some questions of my own. Hey, fathers, it's time that we start asking some questions as a father. Let's not just leave it all in our wives' hands to do it all for us. We need to be committed. We need to be invested. We really do. It's time you start asking your children some questions. Start asking, Lord, how do you want me to raise this child? What do you... Men, we got to stand up. We need to up it right here. We need some good daddies in this church. Amen, dads. Come on, moms, give me something. Thanks. Appreciate it. Jerks. Okay. Let's get to this other portion. I will stay, he said. Do you remember back with Gideon? He said, wait right here, wait right here. I'm going to prepare a sacrifice for you. And the angel of the Lord said, sure, I'll stay. This was not that quick. I'm going to go to the drive-thru and get chicken nuggets for you. This is a long process. How long did, you know, when I was first married, I worked for a couple, I don't know, 3 weeks maybe up at Maple Lane Farms in their slaughterhouse. I don't want to paint many pictures for you right now, but this is not a quick process. It's not easy. They're slaughtering this animal, and he stayed. Have you ever felt sometimes like in your spiritual life you get a little bit dry, you feel a little bit distant, you're in that maybe that middle experience like I'm talking about tonight, you just feel like, God, where are you? Well, let me suggest something to you. There might be some different reasons why that is, but the thing here is the word is telling me that God will stay when you're going to offer praise. Maybe sometimes your prayer life has turned into a little bit of a complaint fest. It's like you're giving God a Facebook post on how bad your day was, and you're not really going to him expecting something great from him. Yeah, well, God, this was awful. But you know what God does? He stays for praise. If you feel distant, why don't you lift your hands and begin to worship him? Why don't you start looking around at your life and what God has done great for you and start thanking him for it? He stays for praise. You don't want to feel that dry spell anymore? Continue to worship. A sacrificial praise. Even when I don't want to, Lord, I will praise your name. The Lord began to bless Samson as he was a young boy. He was having victory after victory after victory. It was so easy. You know, there's so many, there's a few of these different stories, and we don't have to get into all, but a lion attacks Samson. The Bible says he ripped his jaw apart. And the Bible describes it as it was as easy for him as ripping the jaw of a goat apart. I guess that's easy. Better luck next time. I mean, I guess it was easy, all right? He did it with great strength, great ease. But here's the problem with Samson. Samson began to be careless. He got comfortable. He had victory after victory after victory. He began to forget where the source of his strength was. You know, as a church kid, as somebody that's been around it, I'm used to hearing the word of God. I'm used to seeing God do things for me. Then we begin to start like Samson did. He kind of veered off the path to when he was attacked by that lion. Why were you over there, Samson? And then he came back around. He wanted to check on this thing again. He was called to not touch anything unclean. And he scoops that honey out of the carcass of the lion. What are you doing over there, Samson? He began to be careless. And when sometimes there's things in your life that look so sweet, but you know that you're not supposed to be doing it. Like, well, come on, man, let's go do this. Well, it looks good, but God's got something greater for you. God has set you apart to live your life according to his will. God's got something greater. I said, God's got something greater for you. Quit clowning around, Jack. Get off the fence. Decide where you're going to go. So he goes on. He kept seeing victories, though. He, all the while, being a little bit careless. He had that thing at his wedding. And one thing led to another. I can skip the whole story when I say that. And somehow, after some marital spat on the first day, he gets up and kills 30 people, walks out, and I'm out of here. And that was at his that was a cool wedding. I would like to. That would be, 30 people lost their lives at my wedding, but we're going strong. Holy moly! So he leaves. He's mad at his wife. Kills 30 dudes. I'm out of here. He comes back like, all right, babe. And only to find out his father-in-law, Johnny, his father-in-law gave Samson's wife away to his best man. Are you kidding me? What are we watching, The Young and the Restless here? This is dramatic. One thing led to another. And Samson went out and you don't make it up. He catches 300 foxes and ties them together and puts a torch on their tail and sends them towards all of the fields. You know, the Philistines, burns down all the grain, all their crops. He's like, listen, don't blame me for what's about to happen to everybody here, okay? This was your fault. You brought this on to yourselves. One thing led to another. The Philistines get mad. They come out and they attack Samson. Like, all right, tie me up. Go ahead. No, really. No, oh, no, no, really. Tie me up. Okay. He finds the jawbone of a donkey and he kills 1,000 dudes. God is still upon him, all the while Samson is careless. Don't get too comfortable meddling with mediocrity. You might get stuck. Samson meets a little girl named Delilah. He knows he shouldn't be messing around with her. And it's like she says, Samson, babe, why are you so strong? And also, could you tell me, how can I contain that strength? What would it take to tie you up? Hypothetically. And he gives her some bogus answer, and he wakes up, and he's tied up that way. Okay, if a guy calls you and said, hey, how much money do you make? And what was your credit card number, and what was your social security number, please? Like, and if you go and check Credit Karma and realize some things are a little bit out of whack, that shouldn't be a surprise to you, okay? You should have seen that coming. So this happens a few times, same thing. Dude, like, find a new girl. Like, she's not worth it, I promise. But because he was careless the whole time, he got stuck in mediocrity. It's okay. I don't have to keep doing it the way that I was supposed to because I'm still getting victory around every corner. But eventually, that caught up to him. The Lord doesn't want us to be hot or cold. He wants you to be hot or cold, not lukewarm. Samson had seen so many incredible victories, but he forgot that the source of his strength, the source of his victories, came from the one true God. It wasn't his own. When he finally told Delilah, okay, my strength comes from my hair, he wakes up bald like I did in October after challenging a bunch of kids to have on a visitor's contest. I bet he pulled it off a little better. But he found some stuff. Now he's stuck. Man. But this is my favorite part of this story. He's lost his strength. Some of you here tonight, you might be stuck in mediocrity. You might be stuck. I've messed around for too long. I've messed around for too long and it's finally caught up. I don't feel God's presence anymore. Let me tell you, that's not where it ends, because soon the Bible says that his hair began to grow once again. I don't have to say, his hair began to grow once again. That which was lost now started to come back. You don't have to be a victim the whole time. The devil might have taken something from you, but why don't you go back and take back what is yours? Because God gave it to you. It belongs to you. He called out for the Lord one last time, said, God, man, I know I've messed up, but can you just give me the strength one more time to this one final blow? And he leaned up against the post and just ripped a building down, man. How about that for, I mean, what's up, huh? Come at me, bros. 3,000 people go down in one last victory. You don't have to stay stuck. Samson was blind. Oh, Lord Jesus, help me. Some of you have been blinded by the enemy. they plucked out his eyes. You might not be able to see things so clearly right now based on the things that you've involved yourselves with, and you become blind and ignorant to what's actually going on. God wants to pull you out of that today. We don't need any more lukewarm Christians. We don't need mediocre Christians. We need people who are focused and set apart and going forward for Jesus. This part is kind of heavy on me, and I don't want to, if it is, gets too heavy, I might have to tell a joke because I don't want it to be too bad, but we see some interesting things working with the junior high kids. We smell a lot of interesting things too. But a couple weeks ago, I asked a question. It was a very strange service. I just felt led in my altar call to ask this question, and I asked them, how many of you really you doubt the existence of God? You doubt if God is real? Or maybe you have recently, or maybe a friend doubted. You guys, it was like probably 95% of the kids raised their hands. They weren't sure. You know, I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure they don't leave that group that way. Kelly's going to do everything in her power. Paul and Heather are going to do everything in their power. Vinny's going to do everything in his power. We're going to try to shape up and to raise some mighty warriors for the kingdom. But parents, we need your help. It's so heavy on my heart that when I see some things that the kids have to deal with, but when they're seeing mom and dad do the same thing, how can we expect them to pull away from it? It's not something that I take lightly. We don't just go up and play patty cakes with kids on Sunday. Like, we are working to raise some warriors for Jesus. And we need your help. We need your help. Dad, if you've got some things going on that you know, like Samson, he shouldn't be messing around with, drop it. Do it for your kids if you can't do it for yourself. We need everybody on this. We need support. We need to work together. And with that, when we do that, we're going to see some great things happen. And your kids, you'll be so proud. And you know what? I want to pray this. God, every student that's represented at Charleston Church, would you set them on the path to follow you, God, that they will never depart? In the name of Jesus, they will serve you and only you. They're not going to bow down before other gods. They're going to serve you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The last guy I want to talk to you about tonight, a mighty hero in the faith, a prophet, Elijah. How in the world does this correlate? I'll show you. Elijah knew the voice of the Lord. Elijah knew the power of God. I mean, he was victorious. This guy was no joke. The greatest victory probably of ever. Elijah's up on Mount Carmel. And what, I mean, this is so great. They're in the middle of a drought, okay? And because he's like, you're not getting rain until I say you're getting rain. And so like the king's mad. Show yourself to me. Okay. So anyways, they meet up. They're going to have this big old battle. You bring all your prophets of Baal and I'm going to come. I'm the only prophet left of the one true God. Let's go have a little bit of a tussle on the mountain, okay? And so they show up. And these guys are over there. He said, here's the ground rules. You prepare your sacrifice on that altar, and I'll prepare mine over here. And whoever can get fire to come down from heaven and consume this, that's the one true God. Everyone said, fair enough. That's great. He's got 450 guys dancing around, carrying on, cutting themselves, and no fire. Elijah is an absolute, I mean, he is the Chuck Norris of all prophets. He is a gangster. This guy stands back about noon. I think what happened, I mean, they started in the morning and he comes back about noon. I don't know, he had some errands to run and he's like, ha, maybe you should try harder. Maybe your God is asleep. You ought to wake him up. What's wrong? You know, like he is, I mean, he's jabbing at these guys. So they start yelling even louder. He said, okay. So I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go over here. In the middle of the drought, listen to this. The thing that was most valuable, the thing that was most precious to them, water. He takes 12 big old buckets of water. I'm going to one-up you here. You can't get fire, but I'm not just going to make it more challenging for my sacrifice to be burnt up, but I'm going to take the thing that's most precious to me. I don't care about my resource because I know where the source is. And so he dumps 12 buckets of water, and he starts to pray, God, send the fire. What happens? And at that point, Elijah's like, see what I told you? Okay, now bind these guys up, you're gone. And he kills 450 dudes. That's like the biggest victory. I mean, are you kidding me? It's incredible. But then he reaches the middle. After this, he takes off, he goes out, and he starts to pray. God, we need rain. He kept looking, you know the story. Finally, there's a cloud the size of a man's hand. And he sends word to Ahab, you better get going because you're going to get stopped by this mighty outpouring of rain. It's coming, it's coming. And the Bible says, I don't know, I'm not sure how he did this, but he tucked up his skirt under his legs. And the Bible says, the dude ran faster than the horse in the chariot. He's like, man, and he beat the guy down there. It's funny. The Bible can be funny if you read it the right way, okay? Don't be so stiff. I mean, he's holding the skirt and he's just, you know, he's taking off. It's in the Bible, all right? He beats them down to their destination. Like, okay, great. The very next chapter, word gets to Jezebel. Elijah just killed 450 of your prophets. And like, if I just had that kind of victory, I'm going like this to her. What's up? That's right, I did it. That was me. He's so one word from Jezebel. She sends a message and said, you're dead meat, man. I'm going to kill you. After that mighty victory, he's scared off his stance. He retreats. Elijah, the prophet, the man of God, this guy calling on fire from heaven, has hit this same area in life, this same position that you and I have hit probably several times. He goes, he sits down, he says, God, I'm done. Take my life. I don't want to do this anymore. He lost the fight. Elijah's middle experience was one forgetfulness. And he got tired, man. He forgot the victories that God had given him before. Senior saints, we need you. Some of you that have been in the church for years and you've seen God's hand move, you've seen his spirit move. I know that sometimes it's easy to say, well, that's not the way we did it before. I need you. People like me need some good mentors. Don't forget the victories and don't hold them to yourself. And by the way, God's not done with you either. Because that's not the ending place for Elijah. The Lord came down, met with him, fed him, got him on his way. He grilled him a little bit. Elijah, what are you doing? No, seriously, what are you doing? No, I know what you're doing, but what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Have you lost your faith? He goes on and he has so many more victories before finally Elijah is taken. He's taken up by fiery chariots to heaven. He kept on winning. He kept on going. Musicians, you can come, please. Elijah knew God. He knew his voice. Some of you here know God. You know his voice. But you can't be quiet. I'm telling you, church, you don't have to stay in this middle experience. You don't even have to experience it. When we see some of these heroes, they went through it. So it's a little bit comforting saying, okay, good. I'm doing something halfway okay because I've been there before. I've been there before where I felt stuck. I felt lost. There's something for each and every one of us here. Elijah's, guess what? You've been in the faith. You've seen mighty things happen. God's not done with you yet. But guess what? The Samsons are relying on you. The Samsons are relying on you. Samsons, It's time to stop being caught in the middle, stuck in mediocrity. Stop settling for okay. Stop settling for comfortable. Comfort can be, we can get trapped in comfortable. But guess what? You need to start moving because the Gideons of this world and of this church need you. You need to be setting an example for people that are new to the faith. Gideons, we need you and the world needs you. We need some good leaders. And we need to, now more than ever, now more than ever, I think this is kind of fitting. Gideon tore down some statues. It's kind of strange what's happening in our world right now. People tearing down some statues because it offends them. Well, we might have some statues in our own lives. We might have some things that they shouldn't be there. You might have some things that you are a part of that God's wanting that to be left behind. He's got something better for you. He's got something greater, something better. I'm telling you, the blessings of God far outweigh anything that this world has to offer you. Far outweigh it. God, I thank you for this night. I thank you for your spirit. God, I thank you that even though I might experience a middle experience from time to time, God, that's not my resting place. That's not where I've got to stay. Gideon led that army to victory. Samson had one more fight left in him. Elijah did not stay there. God, we're going to go on for you. With everybody standing all over this place tonight, if you would please. And if you're here tonight, and maybe you felt that, maybe you've been there before so you can identify, or maybe you're there today, you're stuck in this place. In the middle, God doesn't want you to settle. God doesn't want you to quit. He's got so much more for you. So if you want to agree with me and commit, I'm not staying in the middle. And if I'm not there now, I'm not going back. If that's you, let's end this service tonight in a time of prayer and commit to the Lord. I'm going to go on for you, Lord. Come, come, come. To do, working together as the body. Do you know what's possible? Do you know what can be accomplished in the spirit? Do you understand? Do you know that the world that we're living in today, we need each other now more than ever. We need a touch from God now more than ever. If we continue to settle to stay in the middle, we're gonna miss it. Don't settle. Don't settle. Gideon's, don't settle. Samson's, don't settle. Elijah's, don't settle. Let's work together and see what God wants to do with his people in his church in these last days. God, we thank you tonight. Find someone to partner with in agreement here in this prayer. God, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. God, we're not going to quit. We're not going to give up. And Lord, if we haven't started, we're about to start on this journey right now. God, I believe that great and mighty victories are to come.
Great and mighty victories are to come in your name, oh God. We don't settle for mediocre. We don't settle for the middle. We only want what you have, God, and what you have is the best for our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, break strongholds now. Things that need to be torn down, tear them down. Things that need to be loosed, loose them now in the name of Jesus. Glory to your name, oh God. God, you stay for praise. He stays for praise. When we begin to worship him, he's gonna be there in our midst. If you feel dry, if you feel tired, begin to worship. Offer him a sacrifice of praise. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I praise you. Hallelujah. Quicken our spirits tonight, Father. Quicken our spirits tonight. Open our eyes, oh God. Give us that next victory, oh God. Lead us, oh Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. Oh God, we praise you. Nothing is impossible with you, God. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus.